The mid-season storm formed in Canada and quickly made like snowbirds racing south for the winter. By the time its gale-strength winds hit South Florida to join forces with thick Caribbean moisture, local weathermen were warning of flooding, like we haven't seen since Hurricane Cleo in 1964. Rain came down in thick, slashing sheets at first, but soon felt like a solid waterfall, as if there were no spaces between the heavy drops. After one of the driest winters in recorded history, the massive amounts of water did not soak into the ground, but puddled like mini Okeechobees all over the county. Local news predicted 2 to 3 feet floods in places. Kendall went on high alert while kids canoed the streets. Water filled the lobbies of hotels on Miami Beach. Residents in low-lying areas evacuated as drainage canals overflowed. Army Corps of Engineers opened flood control gates in the Everglades, and insurance adjusters ran for the high hills. Checkbooks and pre-written claim denials based on industry-accepted actuarial tables tightly in hand. Ark jokes abounded. As Richie Makepeace ran through a soggy alley on the west edge of downtown, south of the main Puerto Rican section of Miami, a few years after the infamous December 3rd Wynwood riot, but before its artsy gentrification, the only words running through his mind were, "Why tonight, of all nights?" That and wondering if he would live to see the end of this storm. Nothing had been going right. Now, this. The torrential rain and puddles slowed Richie down, his soaking wet clothes adding 10 pounds. On the run, it felt more like 100. After 2 miles, lifting his sloshing boots out of 6 inches of standing runoff became one small agony after another, each footfall bringing him closer to his certain end. The suitcase-sized aluminum halliburtons he carried in each hand had long since turned his arms to jello. Who'd have thought a few hundred grand could weigh so much? Must be small bills, he kept thinking. That, and what the fuck had he been thinking, stealing this much drug money from Joe Lalo? All he'd had to do was walk away. But no, I had to get cute. When he rounded a vaguely familiar corner, Richie couldn't remember for sure if the street had an outlet, so he chose the alley. He knew downtown well from years of working the streets in various capacities, but in the dense downpour, everything started looking the same. When he glanced up to check the skyline for a clue, not more than half a second, his right foot dropped into a calf-deep milky puddle. Inertia threw his full weight down and forward, his left shin crashing into the far lip of crumpling asphalt. Richie landed chest first, just past the old pothole large enough to seat 4 comfortably if it weren't so damn cold. His hands reflexively shot out to protect his face and upper body, the weighty cases slapping down on the standing water and hydroplaning away with such speed it felt as if his arms were being yanked out of their sockets. When his body mass caught up, forward momentum reversed, and his shoulders shoved back into his body as hard as if he'd run into a brick wall. Richie ended up in a soaked, moaning ball, but had no time to dwell on the pain. He was up and slogging as fast as he could in 2 seconds. 2 seconds that meant Joe Lalo and his boys were 10 steps closer to killing him. As the end of the alley loomed closer, forming a T with a narrow street, Richie hoped there'd be an exit on one side or the other.